Our gospel and sermon lesson for this morning is found in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. You can follow along on either the insert or the pew Bible. Again, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I read in Jesus' name. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I am in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the true vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Vines, vines, vines all over the place. Scripture is absolutely crawling with vines, both the Old Testament and the New. I didn't look to be sure, but I think Jesus tells more parables about vineyards than about any other category of thing. And Jesus is making a big statement in these verses, calling himself the true vine. And so we're going to take a little bit of time to see, get a little bit better picture of what's going on when Jesus says that he alone, is the true vine. Back in Psalm 80, verses 8 through 13, God talks about the people of Israel being a choice vine. They were the Dolce and Gabbana of vines. I don't know what a good gardening company is, a designer, I don't know. But they were the choicest vine, and God said that he brought them out of Egypt. God said that he drove out all those pagan nations so that he could plant his people in that vineyard. And that people, that vine, took deep root in the ground and filled all the land. Sounds good so far. Then later, though, in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, that image picks up again. And God says that he planted Israel on a very fertile hill. He cleared the ground of stones, and he put a watchtower in the middle of the vineyard to guard it and protect it and keep it. But when God looked for his vine to yield good grapes, he didn't find any. All he found were a bunch of wild, garbage, worthless grapes. And so you have this picture of Israel being this choice vine, planted in a perfect place, but they didn't produce the fruit that God was looking for. In Isaiah 5:7, God says that he was looking for the fruit of justice, but instead he found bloodshed. God said that he was looking for the fruit of righteousness, but all he found was an outcry, like the protests going on in Baltimore. So God, what does he do? He destroys the vineyard. God reduces the vine to a stump. He chops it down. He breaks down the walls which were protecting his vineyard, and he even commands the clouds to not rain upon the ground of that vineyard. But then later in Isaiah chapter 11, God promises that a shoot would come from the stump. And in Isaiah 53, a portion of what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from our epistle, or from the first reading, In Isaiah 53, God said that His servant, who would bear the sins of many and make many to be accounted righteousness, His servant would grow up like a young plant and like a shoot out of dry ground. And so when Jesus says, "I am the true vine," what He is saying there is that He is the fulfillment of what Israel had failed to be. Jesus is the true vine who grows where, quite honestly, nothing should have been growing at all. Around the dead stump of the cross, Jesus' body was wrapped like a vine. The bark of Jesus' skin was shredded by the Roman whips. His growth was stunted by a crown of thorns. And He hung there like a lifeless thing because He was truly dead. And His lifeless corpse was tossed into the ground. It didn't look like anything should grow. But of course, there grows Jesus, the true vine. He rose again and grew like a true vine coming up out of the earth. And Jesus, as the true vine, hasn't stopped growing. He's continued to grow and to spread out His branches into all the earth. And so now, Jesus, the true vine, He bears and He sustains the branches that bear the fruit that God had been looking for, the good fruit of righteousness and justice. Jesus says, "I am the true vine. You are the branches." And Jesus speaks about two types of branches. There are branches that bear fruit, and there are branches that do not bear fruit. And according to Jesus, there's only those two. According to Jesus, there is only life and death. Either you are alive, joined to Jesus and bearing fruit, or you are dead, disconnected from Jesus, and withering. There's no middle ground. And carry this analogy out, because I don't know, I'm no botanist, I'm no gardener, I don't know lickety-split about plants, but I know this. There are no plants that have branches that walk off and come back. Plants have branches that are connected. If the branches are not connected, the branches are dead. They might look okay for a little bit. They might stay green for a couple of days. They might even have fruit for a little while. But those disconnected, those cut off branches will wither. They will dry out. And they will burn. Jesus says, "You are either connected to Him or you are not. There's no middle ground." But in saying that, Jesus also promises that whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. How much fruit? Much fruit. Jesus uses that word abide quite a bit. And that's a word that's kind of dying out in our culture today. I bet you heard it more times this morning than you've heard it in the past 3 months. And that's a good thing. But Jesus uses this little word abide 7 times in these 9 verses. And so I think it's important for us to think about that for a minute. And I have to say, I even like the sound of the word abide. There's kind of a comforting thing about that word. I'm not trying to tell you to use it as your mantra or anything like that, but it's a good word. And Jesus, your source of life, your true vine, He invites you to abide in Him. Grow in Him and grow with Him as He delivers everything that you need for this life. Remain connected to Him where you receive your nourishment. Stick with Him through both the good and the bad seasons of life. abide. And you absolutely, there's no question, you absolutely will bear fruit. It's impossible to not bear fruit. If you abide in Jesus, you are bearing fruit. And maybe you're having a hard time seeing that fruit. But that doesn't matter. You, as the branch, aren't to judge your own fruit. That's not your calling. That's the Father's business. And don't let anyone else say that it's their job to judge your fruit. God is the vine dresser. God is the one who will take care of it. I want you to notice that even though there are these two types of branches, they all get cut. Branches that do not bear fruit are cut off because they're already dead and bearing down on the vine. Those dead branches continue to wither and are thrown into the fire and burned. But the branches that do bear fruit, they get cut too. Now here's your obvious statement for the day, but I am no plant. I'm not. But I imagine that a branch doesn't particularly enjoy being pruned, because then it's not going wherever it wants to. It's being guided and directed in a way so that it will bear more fruit. I'm guessing that this follows through to us. I don't think we're going to enjoy being pruned. But you know what? It's for our good. And it's ultimately for God's good. And it might feel like we're one of those dead branches off to the side, disconnected from the vine and withering. But that's not the case. You're simply being pruned. God will cut off all of the sinful and tangling growth of sin that you can cause to shoot forth from yourself. He'll cut it off. Also that you can bear even more fruit. This pruning, Jesus says, takes place only through the word of Christ. If you want to abide in Jesus, here's how you do it. You abide in his word. The Father uses the word of Christ to cleanse you and to make you do what he wants you to do, and that is bear more fruit. I love this. It doesn't come out in our English translation. And if you haven't listened to anything else I've said in the sermon, listen to this. Have I got your attention, please? In verse 2, Jesus says that every branch that bears fruit, the Father prunes. And then Jesus continues right on in verse 3 saying, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Well, the word clean in verse 3 is the same word as the word that gets translated as prune in verse 2. So Jesus says, if you are bearing fruit, the Father will clean. He will prune you. And Jesus says, already you are clean. Already you are pruned. Because of the word which I have spoken to you. And so abide. Abide in Jesus. Soak up the word of God. Read it daily. Play with it. Come here to God's house and drink God's word as it comes through the songs and the hymns and the liturgy and the absolution and the sermons. Let the rain of your baptism, which is simply water connected to the word, let that precipitate through your whole life. Come to this altar and open your mouth to receive the nourishing sap of Christ's body and blood as he gives it to you in bread and wine. Abide and bear fruit. And you will bear fruit. There's no question. Jesus promises, And he promises that because your bearing fruit gives glory to God the Father. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and into eternity. Amen.